Today's message will be taken out of Matthew 11, 25 through 30. This is just for information. Most of the time, I do topical, which means, hey, there's a topic. That's why I go from scripture to scripture, jumping all over the Bible, bringing out verses to cover a particular subject or a topic. Exegetical, exegesis. You take a particular set of scriptures and you talk just on those and see what you can dig out of them and share that. Now, to tell the truth, most Bible scholars and people who go to Bible colleges will do exegesis. Why? Because that's what they were told. You do exegesis because... And then on and on and on. Jesus himself did topical. I'm going to go with topical most of the time because if it was good enough for Jesus... Good enough for Doyle, right? And most of us are interested in particular topics rather than just trying to do Bible studies. And there's nothing wrong with the exegesis. It's just it's more methodical and you're plodding along. So today we're going to be plodding along. Once again, I'll read the scriptures. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this way was well-pleasing in your sight. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. To put this in context, Jesus, just prior to this, because it starts off with at that time, or Jesus answered and said, what was going on is he had just turned around to Capernaum, the town, and he addresses it kind of like this. Woe to you, Capernaum and Chorazin. You guys are in so much trouble because on that last day, it's going to be a lot easier for Sodom and Gomorrah than it is for you. I've been here. I have taught you. I have talked to you, and there have been miracles done. And if miracles had been done like that in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have repented of their sins. They would have turned from their ways. And here I am, and here you are, and you have seen these things, and yet you refuse to follow after the truth and the things that are being revealed to you by me. So those guys are going to get off lighter than what you are. You're going to have to pay a heavier price. You're going to be held more responsible or a higher level of responsibility. And then he turns around and he says, now remember, he's miffed. He's pretty, And then he says, God, thank you. Thank you that you chose to reveal all this truth not to those people, but to the babes, to the infants, to the people who do not know a lot. Thank you very much. Now, if you ever have the chance, and I'm always doing this as an advertisement, if you ever have the chance and you've got the nerve, go to Israel. Yeah, I know, you hear all sorts of stories. Go to Israel. It's well worth the trouble. When you get to Capernaum, you will come to the synagogue where he was at talking to the people. You will come to that one and you'll be able to walk right into it and you'll see it. I won't go into details, but you'll be able to see Capernaum and its synagogue. The ruins of it are still there. And a synagogue is a place where people came together, kind of like a church. A church is based on the idea of the synagogue, where the people came together. But unlike our churches, their church... So many different things about it that was different. But their church, they would have more than one speaker, which is fine by me, but they would all line up front. And one person would stand up and read the scripture. Remember when they asked Jesus to do that? And he reads the scroll in Isaiah and he stops in the middle of a sentence. And he says, today this has been fulfilled in your hearing. Well, they would hand somebody the scroll and they'd say, would you read the scriptures today? That person would read it. A person would stand up and start explaining what was read. And then another person would stand up and give his views of what was read. Maybe a third person would stand up and give their view of what was read. And then maybe you'd have this big discussion. And while this is going on, people in the audience could yell out, "Hey, wait a minute. What about this? What about that?" And so you'd have this interaction. It sounds like a Pentecostal church, doesn't it? They would be shouting out questions or answers. So it was very, I don't want to say tumultuous. It was be unusual for us to go unless you went to a blab school when you was a kid. Did anybody go to a blab school? Okay. Don't know what that is, huh? It would have been kind of raucous. People would have been debating. And that is why Jesus said, "God, thank you that you are choosing to reveal your teachings and your stuff, not to these people who think they know so much, not to the synagogue leaders, not to the people who've been to the seminaries, or as they say, cemeteries, but to the people who are really trying to understand and they just want the pure Word of God." Now, before you jump on me, yes, I did go to a Bible school, and I chose not to go to a seminary afterwards, after 3 years. Seminary is 3 years also. After Bible college, I was like, I don't want to go through this all over again, because most of what I had in Bible college was the same thing I would have done in seminary. And I'm not downing the seminary people, and I'm not trying to raise myself up. I'm just saying, I am there, I've done that, been there, done all that. Got the t-shirt. I really do have a t-shirt. Got the t-shirt that shows it. But a lot of seminaries, especially more liberal seminaries, and there's more and more going that way all the time, they don't teach you what the Bible says. They're not there to instruct you to understand the truth of it. What they will teach you is theology. They will teach you, this is what we believe and this is why the Bible is wrong. Not that they have the proof. They just insinuate, like I read Sunday night. I had an article where I read from it. It says, well, most people do not believe this to be true. They offered no reason why the Bible wasn't true other than that statement, most people do not believe this to be true. And I'm going, who gave you the right to say most people? Nobody. They just assumed it on themselves because they want you to believe a certain understanding and they do not give you the way of truth. That's why Paul says, study to show yourself approved, that you can rightly divide the word of truth, and you're a workman that won't be ashamed. So when you get to heaven, you'll be able to say, I did my best to understand the Bible. I keep bringing this up because there are theological or philosophical ideas that are being pushed. And what Jesus was saying is, God, thank you that you haven't shown it to a bunch of stuffed shirts. You haven't shown it to people who have a particular ideology, philosophy. You haven't shown it to the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Essenes, the Herodians, the Communists, the Socialists, the Arminians, the Calvinists. You haven't shown it to all of those people, but you have shown it to the people who are really trying to understand your word. And he says, thank you that you're showing it to the people who are just starting out. Now, if you want a little more to go with that, you can read over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 19. It just backs up what I was saying, but there it is. So that's what Jesus was going on about when he starts all this. But in verse 26, he goes on to say this, yes, Father, for this way was well-pleasing in your sight. It is well-pleasing in God's sight that he shows it to the people who are out there who haven't been trained to learn to twist, to ignore, and how to get around the Word of God. And yes, okay, I have enough education and enough honoriness in me to know how to do it. There's a lady who honestly believes I'm going to hell and has told her husband several times, Doyle is going to hell because he believes blah, 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 which I don't think she's going to hell because she doesn't believe that, but she thinks I am. Now, the reason I bring this up is when she gets her back to a wall, she will tell her husband, because she won't ask me directly, she'll say to her husband, husband, next time you see Doyle, you ask him this question, and how can I prove my point? And I'm all the time like, why is she asking the guy that's going to hell how to produce a particular philosophy or a truth in the Scripture when she thinks I've got it so messed up? But she does that. And that's what Jesus is saying. There are people out there who want to have a particular idea to twist it and to prove themselves right rather than to prove what the Scripture is. They're more interested in showing themselves to be right. Now, when it comes to Scripture and you're wanting to understand Scripture, you want to go topical. You want to say, okay, you're reading your Bible, exegetical, which we're doing, and then you switch to topical because he'll tell you something and you're saying, what is he talking about? Then you search the Scriptures for every reference that has to do with that particular topic, and then you put that together to understand what's being referred to here. One of the first and most important ways of understanding Scripture is you go to the Bible verse, to the particular sentence or paragraph that is the clearest and the simplest on that subject. And it'll just make a flat statement. There's all sorts of ways of getting saved if you go to area churches and say, what must I do to be saved? You can get a list of things you've got to do. One of them has a list of called solas, the solas. You've got to do the solas. And one of the solas is you've got to get married. Or you've got to join a priesthood. Or you've got to join a religious order. If you want to get saved, you've got to do one of those three things. And they have various solas that you have to go through. Now let me tell you, what must you do to be saved? The most simple statement is Jesus himself says it. Because they come to him and says, what must we do the works of God? Meaning, Jesus, what do we got to do that God expects us to get done so we can get to heaven? And he makes this simple statement. Believe on him who he sent. The one thing you've got to do to get to heaven is just believe on the one whom God sent. Who did God send? Jesus. Believe on Jesus. Trust in Jesus. That's what the word means. Trust in Jesus. That is the basis of salvation. That is what's going to get you through the door. That's what's going to cause Jesus to say, come on in. Everything else is just details. It's the showing forth of what Christ did in your life because you were born again. You trusted in Him. You trust in Him. Yes, there's things that ought to be done, but the one requirement is you trust in Jesus. After that, there's a few things you ought to do. You ought to study your Bible. You ought to get baptized. You ought to clean up your act. You ought to do this and you ought to do that. But the requirement is trust in Jesus. So always go back to the most clear statement. Study all the theology you want. And once you read all that theology, go back and say, this is the clearest statement. Therefore, that theology must conform to this statement or the theology is crooked and not right. Choose to follow after the Scripture. And that's what Jesus is saying. Thank you, God, that you decide to show it to a bunch of people who didn't know any better than to say, I trust in Jesus. I trust in God. I'll just trust Him to lead me along the way rather than showing it to people who are going to start wrangling over them verses, wrangling and saying, well, this theologian says this and that theologian says that, and I'm of Paul and I'm of Apollos and I'm a Lutheran. I asked a Lutheran one time, what do you guys believe about the second coming? And they said, well, we don't, other than the fact he's going to show up. And I said, you don't have any idea? We never discuss it. Why? Because Luther never discussed it. The Bible discusses it. Well, what does that matter? Luther never discussed it, therefore we don't discuss it. I follow after Jesus. And if it's in the Bible, it's a subject that should be discussed. I don't edit my Bible according to what Luther says, Calvin says, Chuck Ollum says, Duane says. I don't try to limit my view according to all those different things. I try to pick up my Bible, read it, and say, what's he saying? What is the Holy Spirit revealing to us? Always go to the simplest statement as the basis. 27, all things have been handed over to me, he says, by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father, and nor does anyone know the Father except the Son. Now, stopping right there, that is a statement of divinity. Because he's not just saying, like we would say, yeah, I know there is a God. What he said was, I know the Father in detail, intimate relationship. I know all about Him. I understand the Father and I understand God's ways completely. Not a little bit, not partial, not a theologian understanding. I understand God Himself and God completely understands me. Now, if someone is claiming to have a complete and thorough knowledge of God, then he's saying, I am right up there with Him. Jesus is the second person of the Godhead. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Jesus is divine Himself, and He has a complete understanding of everything that God knows, Jesus knows. Absolutely everything. People say, well, Jesus never made that claim. Right there is a claim where Jesus is saying, I understand God. I understand the Father. And He completely understands me in every way, shape, form, and nuance. So don't let people think it's not there. It's just stated in a way that the Hebrew people talk, not in the way us Americans talk. But there it is. But the last part of it says that He knows the Father and the Father knows the Son. And anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal Him. So, the Calvinist theologians will take that and run with it and saying, well, you see, it's anyone that the Son wills to show it, wills to show the Father to. Those are the ones and the only ones that will ever get saved. And if He never wills you to know the Father, you are doomed from the get-go. You have no way. You have no hope. You might think you do. You might attend a church, but you have no hope. That is a Calvinist thing. The Bible thing goes on to say this. And Jesus says, come to me all, A-L-L, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What does He say? God the Father has turned over all responsibility to me concerning the face of this earth. That's what it says. God has given me all the responsibility. And He says that I can show Him or connect any person I choose to with Him. It's my responsibility. And then He defines who is now the chosen. All. Any person that's got a burden, any person that's heavy, any person that's weary, and that, I'm going to make the guess, includes you, because most people I know are weary and tired of this life and the drudgery, the grind that goes on and on and on. And Jesus is saying there, all. I'm introducing every person that is weary and tired and gets fed up and just come to me. So He's opened the door. It's not a limited particular group of people. It's limited to this. Do you want to come? If you choose not to, that's your problem. But Jesus opened the door to every person that's tired and weary. And I want you to know I number above the tired and the weary and the people that get tired of it just grinding out day after day after day. And the skies are gray and miserable and I'm just like, and He says, come unto me, Doyle. Come on to me. Now, I do want to make this point here. The responsibility was all handed to Jesus concerning this world and its salvation and its system and who makes it to heaven and who doesn't. God the Father hands it all to Jesus Christ right there. Hands it and says, from now on, Jesus, you are responsible for the earth. You're responsible for getting people into heaven. And Jesus steps up and says, yes, I'll take that. And He is willing to die for us and our sins and take all of our failure and responsibility that would separate us from the Father. He takes that upon Himself. He pays that price. Now, as time goes on and He returns, and we know in the Scripture, the Lutherans don't know this because they don't study the second coming, but the Scriptures teach us when He comes back, He will subdue all the nations of the world, meaning that He will bring them into submission and they will learn to follow after the teachings of God the Father. and they will learn to march according to those orders, and they will be following that order, that system, for at least 1,000 years. They will be going along, and then the judgment comes, the big final judgment. There's details in there we could go into, but the big final judgment comes, and when it does, Jesus, it says in the book of the Revelation, Jesus, it says, takes the responsibility that He has been saddled with from this scripture here and says, Father, it's finished. The people have been talked to. The nations have been talked to. It's all done except the shouting, and here it is. I'm giving it all back to you. It's now your responsibility. And then we go on a little farther and the Father does this. Behold, a new heavens and a new earth. Everything that's old will be done away with. And all things will be brought into a renewed situation. And there'll be a new heavens and a new earth and a new peace and a new tranquility. And the Father's the one that's going to say, fine, it's over with. It is completely completed. And then He'll bring it to a close, mash all the bad stuff, throw it over into the lake of fire, and create the whole new world. And we will go with Him forever and ever and ever. So the important thing is that we walk in the teaching of Christ. All things were given to Him, and then He chooses to open that door to all people who are weary and heavy laden. You are a chosen person. You are a predestined person. You are the one that He called to come out. And if you haven't chosen that and you feel tired and weary of this world system and the life you're leading, you just go to Jesus. And I don't mean you have to go to Jerusalem, but if you'd like to, it's an interesting place to go. But go to Jesus in prayer and just say, Jesus, I'm tired of it all. Would you take care of it? That is putting His yoke upon you and accepting. He didn't say accept a theological stance, nor did He say accept a particular denominational way of looking at things. He said, you take My yoke upon you, for it is light and My burdens are light. You take My yoke and then walk with Me because they are easy and they are light. You say, how can this be? I know that most of us are old enough to know what yokes are. I was walking out of a Cracker Barrel a few years ago, and there was a yoke, a two-yoke oxen yoke above the door. And this guy, young guy, looked at me. I guess I looked like I rode out in covered wagons at some point. He said, excuse me, sir, what is that thing up there? And I looked at him like, what? And he said, yeah, what? And I said, huh? And he says, yeah, huh? And I said, you really don't know? And he goes, no. And I said, that's a yoke to put upon oxen. He said, a yoke? And I know he's thinking eggs. And I'm going, well, you see the thingies, I don't know, you take them off, and you put that big beam over the yoke's back and the other one over the other yoke's, and you're right on the neck, and you slide these things back in and you peg it. And then the two yoke, oxen, the two oxen are yoked together, and then you can attach them to a plow or to a wagon, whatever you're needing pulled, and the oxen will pull those. And he looked at that and he said, really? And I said, really? Because I'm sitting there going, what an idiot. And he's looking at me and he says this, how will us people learn when you old guys are dead? There's one little kid that doesn't need to learn. When I say little kid, he was probably 35 years old at the time. Look at me and call me an old geezer. What am I? I'll be around for decades yet, pointing at that thing going, it's a yoke. A yoke is something that you put onto the oxen, and the oxen would pull it. And he's saying, you harness yourself up next to me, and you and I will go through this life together. You and I will be able to manage any burden that comes along that you've got. Basically, he's also saying, and I will be the one that will be pulling the heavy load. You just have to learn to walk beside me at my pace. Do you guys remember when George McDowell used to pull a junk wagon around with an oxen in Noble? I can tell you this, that oxen was slow, but it was sure. great big old oxen, just real slow, just plodding along, and he would be dumping junk on this wagon. And he'd walk it into town, and he'd walk back out to his house, dump all this stuff off, and then next week you'd see him coming with that oxen again. And Jesus is saying, it's not a race to the finish line. You're with me. We're going to get through this life. It may seem plodding at times, but we will make it through, and I will carry the burden. I will be the one taking the responsibility of getting you through. Old Testament Psalms 55, verse 22. New Testament 1 Peter 5, 7 basically says this: cast your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. That's the basic idea here. Take it, throw it off on the big guy. Throw it off on the big ox. All we have to do is just walk along. And what He wants you to do is not going to be a heavy, burdensome, grinding out thing. It's going to be something that you can manage, something that's light, and something that you can work with. And He will be right there with you, pulling you through the burdens of this life. It's not a forced obedience. It's not a drudgery. It's not ponderous. It's not complicated. It's just this simple: trust in Me. That's it. His burden is light. What is the burden? Trust in Me. Just walk up beside Me, harness yourself to Me, and I will get you through. I will get you through this life, and I will get you all the way through to heaven itself. I will get you through. Just trust Me. And that's all He asks. Just trust Me. That is Christianity in a nutshell. Thank you all for coming.